Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. And before we broke for the news, we were having a conversation with Dr. Karen Kemmes and Cheryl Dunseith about osteoporosis and bone health in general. And just as we broke for the news, Cheryl, we were talking about drinking milk and vitamin D and what some of those sources for vitamin D and calcium were. And it struck me that we're talking about adolescents and how they get their calcium and vitamin D. And you know what? It seems to me like every adolescent I know, all they're drinking is soft drinks. Speak to me about the impact on their health.
We really talk about that a lot in our program because they have so many different alternatives than we had 20 or 30 years ago. Not just soft drinks, but juices and other things that don't have calcium and vitamin D in it. So we spend a lot of time talking about that. The schools are making efforts now, which I'm really pleased about, to remove the soda from the school systems. So that's a great thing. But dairy is the easiest way to get their calcium, but there are green leafy vegetables and other foods that are available. And also orange juice, for example, is now being supplemented sometimes with calcium. So we encourage them, if they're not a big milk drinker, to look for those kinds of things in the store with their parents.
Very good. Very good. All right. I thought maybe it would be a good idea to kind of break things down, say, by decades of life, the kinds of things we need to be looking at. Because even though, as you said, Dr. Kemmes, we could be taking a pill. I think that's in retrospect, and it's expensive, and you said 50%, so maybe the prevention aspect is the part that we need to be looking at here. So we've talked about teens and adolescents. Have we covered them pretty well, Cheryl?
Well, the only thing that, and I'm sure Karen will cover it, is really the exercise piece is very key for children and adolescents as well.
And basically, what are they doing? Just out the running and in the yard and playing the sports, and or do they need to be bearing weights, or what do they need to be doing?
We just want them out and playing around. The more bounding and jumping they do, the better their bone health will be. So surprisingly, little teeny tiny gymnasts have the best bone density because they do all the pounding and jumping. So, you know, the biggest thing probably these days is to try to encourage children and teens to move away from video games and computer some and just go out and run and play and jump.
All that thumb exercise isn't going to do a thing for their bones,
only for
it?
Their thumbs.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Okay, so now we move into our 20s and 30s. You're not diagnosing osteoporosis at that point, are you?
Not typically, unless somebody has some other health cause that would create lower bone density. So usually we're still talking about the preventative aspects, enough calcium and vitamin D, generally healthy nutrition, and just really trying to stay active. Mm-hmm. And again, that's kind of challenging in today's world. So getting out, going for walks and hikes, climbing stairs, coming downstairs is great impact for the bones. Mm-hmm. Just really trying to be active.
You know, it makes me think too, in 20s and 30s, young women are having babies. And Cheryl, you mentioned that the babies, even before they're born, is there something that pregnant moms need to be looking at?
Well, obviously, their calcium and vitamin D levels intake needs to be much higher while they're pregnant.
Because those babies are kind of sapping that from their bodies, aren't
they?
That's
right.
All right.
That's right.
All right. Now we get into our 40s, and I imagine there are some people who begin to have problems into their 40s. Speak to me about what we need to be doing at that point.
Well, some people are fortunately still in the preventative aspect, so what we've already talked about, but some people probably are already getting into low bone density and really do need to be more cautious. If somebody has some medical reason that they might have osteoporosis, they can already talk to their physician about getting a bone density test so they get a sense of where they are.
And what kinds of medical problems would those be?
People who have conditions where they don't absorb well, like Crohn's disease or celiac disease, where they're not, even though they're taking in calcium and vitamin D, their body doesn't keep it in.
So kind of gastrointestinal type things.
Exactly. Okay. And then there's a lot of medications that can be harmful to bones. Some of the cancer treatments, unfortunately, are harmful to the bones. Mm-hmm. Corticosteroids are especially damaging to the bones. So if people have to take steroids for medical conditions, they really should have their bone health looked at immediately and to start taking precautions and possibly even starting osteoporosis medication.
So that should be monitored is what you're saying, as
absolutely.
They're taking the steroids.
Yep.
All right. So now they're getting through their 40s and into their 50s. And among my friends, and my friends are mostly in their 50s, we all sort of laugh because we feel like we're getting smaller and shrinking just a little bit. Is that related to osteoporosis?
It certainly can be. So through our lives, it's pretty natural to lose about a half inch height. You know, our feet flatten out a little bit and our discs in our spine flatten out a little bit.
Maybe gravity as much
exactly.
as anything.
Exactly. It takes over. So half an inch is really perfectly normal through our adult years. More than that, we have to start looking at what could be the problem. So bone density tests are a great way to diagnose osteoporosis, but aside from that, if somebody has lost more than 1.5 inches of height from what their recalled maximum was, they really need to go see their physician about osteoporosis and perhaps have a bone density test done and maybe have a spine x-ray to see if they have some compression fractures. Many of the compression fractures in the spine are silent, so people don't feel them, but they do notice that they're getting shorter or that their adult children are getting taller all of a sudden.
Yes, yes, it seems like the children are getting taller. You're right. You know, though, it makes me think, I know among my friends, one of the words I hear on occasion is osteopenia. What's the difference between that and osteoporosis?
When the bone density test is done, they compare the person's bone density to a peak bone mass. So, for example, you as a female would be compared to a female of about 30 years old, and they just determine how far you are from that. If somebody has bone mass that is a normal range, they're considered normal. If it's lower than normal, but not so low that it'd be called osteoporosis, that's diagnosed as low bone mass, and that's a great time to really get on the prevention bandwagon with calcium, vitamin D, and physical activity. Then once it decreases to a particular point, it's called osteoporosis.
Okay. So is low bone mass then, is that another word for osteopenia?
Exactly. They're sort of replacing that
now. They are. Okay. So we've got an old word. We need to tell the doctors and the patients. All right. Speak to me then, in 40s and 50s, what are the kinds of things I need to be doing to prevent that point?
Well, again, the calcium and vitamin D intake is so important, and I think it's easy to get into poor eating habits that we get away from those, so good nutrition in general.
And let me ask, do I need 4 glasses, was it, that the teenagers need?
Right. As you age, you need more calcium, and you also need more vitamin D. You get less from the sun if you do go outside because your skin doesn't absorb it as well.
It doesn't.
No, so we really recommend after 50 that you're getting about 1,200 of calcium and 1,000 to 1,200 of vitamin D.
And can I get those in tablets?
Yes, you can.
I can. And you know what? I do. I'm pretty good about that.
Good.
All right. And so, but I'm not drinking as much milk. I might have milk with a bowl of cereal in the morning.
Well, that counts, but it's not enough. You really need to look. We really like you to get your calcium through your food. But if you're not, then you would supplement. And I also want to bring up vitamin D, because there's two different kinds of vitamin D. There's a D2 and a D3, and we recommend the vitamin D3, which is called cholecalciferol.
Oh my gosh.
That's much better absorbed into your system than the D2.
All right, and how do I know which one I'm getting if it says on the bottle just a D?
it would have to say cholecalciferol or D3 for you to know that you're getting the right D.
Really?
Vitamin. Yes.
And how, but seriously, when I go to the store to look for that, will it say that on the bottle?
Yes, it will.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. I missed that one completely. All right. Now, we're talking about taking the pills. What about the exercise? What do I need to be doing in my 40s and 50s?
Trying to be active, and really into those years we become so inactive. Many of our jobs and activities are very sedentary. So again, getting up, moving around, but this is a time we really need to start thinking about proper posture.
Mm-hmm.
People do get rounded over because they maintain poor posture.
And I'm sitting over a computer all day long.
Exactly, and a lot of people do. A lot of our work is down in front of us. So you know, if I had a dollar for every time somebody said, oh, my mother or father always used to tell me to sit upright, and now I realize why.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want to try to sit, stand, walk as tall as possible so that we don't make ourselves more likely to get those spine fractures.
And, you know, we do a lot of walking. We walk the dog. Is that Is that what you're talking about, getting out and moving?
That's a good start. But the other reason we get hip fractures is from falling. So we tend to see if people just walk, they don't necessarily maintain good balance.
Ah.
So the other thing to do is to be active with challenging activities. This can be done by walking on uneven surfaces, climbing stairs, which are more challenging, but also to just throw a little balance exercises in the day. So if somebody's walking down the hall of their house, they can walk like they're on a tightrope one time.
Uh-huh.
They can walk sideways another time, on their tippy toes the next time, so that they're challenging their balance. Because really, falls are what tends to cause hip fractures. 90% of hip fractures are directly from a fall. So if we don't fall, then we have a very small chance of getting a hip fracture.
You know, that's very interesting you say that, because I just noticed the other day trying to pull on a sock. I did not balance trying to pull on my sock. And I thought, come on, what's this all about? But that's what you're talking about,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, so what's the tendency? This is hard. I'm going to sit on the bed and start to pull my socks on now. And what I would encourage, as long as somebody is safe, still try to pull it on the way you used to. So do stand on one leg at times while you're brushing your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Spend different times doing those challenging. Don't take the easy way. Don't take the elevator. Take the stairs. Really provide your body with those challenges.
And I have to think that this is good advice for people all the way through these ages, isn't it? We're beginning to run out of time, and I want to make sure that we get one other thing in here, and that is contact for the two of you for more information. Certainly, Cheryl, for your school programs, and Dr. Chemist for you working on the physical therapy and so forth. You have a website and a phone number we can contact, don't you?
Yes, we do. We can call my phone number. It's 464-5721, or you can link to the Upstate website and put in NYSOPEP, NYSOPEP.
Very good. And we'll make sure that we put links from our Health Link on Air website as well to both of those. Well, Dr. Karen Chemist and Dr. and Cheryl Duncey, RN, not doctor, but still, great education. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. Please stay with us. This is SUNY Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.